Welcome to Mentor Text for Munchkins.
Hi, and welcome to the Mentor Text for Munchkins podcast. I'm Kelly. A little about me, I am a mom, a teacher, a former literacy coach and facilitator, and each week I'm bringing you the stories behind the stories of some of the great mentor texts that you can use in your classroom, as well as mini lesson ideas, teaching points, parts to bookmark in some of our favorite mentor texts, and ways that you can use them throughout the year. If this is your first time tuning into the podcast, you may want to check out the very first episode, which tells you the most ways to get everything out of this podcast. So if you look for episode one, it tells you about the free resource binder kit that you can download from Teachers Pay Teachers, as well as the free resource sheets that you can also download from my Teacher Pay Teachers store, and the accompanying blog and blog notes at www.mentortextformunchkins.com. If you click on the podcast tab, it'll take you to the episode notes, and a link where you can go to the Teachers Pay Teachers store for Mentor Text for Munchkins and download the free resource sheets that accompany each podcast, as well as a free binder kit that you can print off and organize these sheets so that you have a growing resource of mentor texts to use throughout the year. So it may seem a little odd that we're talking about the kissing hand because back to school has flown by for many of us already. I know I'm already in my second week, but I wanted to feature this story because it's usually used in September and then it's not usually revisited throughout the year. But to be honest with you, if I was going to buy 10 books to keep for the entire year for my class, I think The Kissing Hand would be in the top 10 because there's a variety of teaching points that you can come back to this great story for over and over again. There's also an amazing backstory behind this story. So if you haven't had the opportunity to share The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn with your students yet, I hope that today you have the chance to listen to some of the different ways that you can bring this into your classroom. So I like to share the stories that come before the stories with my students because it helps them take time to understand how writers get ideas and how writers can get ideas in a variety of ways. So we create an ongoing anchor chart with some of our favorite mentor texts that I know we're going to come back to often. And we collect their stories of how they were inspired to write the stories. So it's a great way for children to connect with their own inner writer, and it makes the task seem less daunting because sometimes children think writers were born writers or it's magic and they became writers all of a sudden. And they don't always see the connection that these were everyday people who found inspiration in pretty amazing ways. And Audrey Penn is one of those writers whose stories kids hold on to as soon as they hear it and they want to hear it again and again. In fact, I recently just shared the story behind The Kissing Hand with my class, and my class liked it so much that one of my students actually came back after school and wanted me to tell the story to his mom and asked if I could share that with him. So it's really a story that kids connect to. So I had the pleasure of meeting Audrey Penn years ago at a Barnes & Noble educator event. And if you haven't had the opportunity to sign up yet for the Barnes & Noble teacher list, it's a great resource. You get to meet a lot of different authors when they come into town. A lot of the events are free and you get a pretty nifty discount, which is always a good thing. So Audrey Penn was a free speaker one night and I came to check her out. And she told the story about how she was inspired for The Kissing Hand. And it came from a train ride that she took with her son. And it was a train, I didn't find out until later, it was a train that you would take at a zoo or a park. It was a little train. When she first told the story, I think she left out the part about it being a little train from a park or a zoo. So when I told my students the story, I always envisioned like a big commuter train or one of those trains that goes through the Grand Canyon. And then years later, when I was reading a little more on her biography, I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense now. I totally get it. So she was on this little train And the train stopped because there was a mother raccoon and her baby sitting on the tracks. And the conductor explained that they couldn't move on because these two raccoons were sitting in the tracks and they weren't budging. So Audrey Penn was naturally curious, as many writers are, and she peeked around to see what was going on. And when she looked at the raccoon, she was surprised to see that the mother kept taking the baby raccoon's paw and rubbing it on her cheek. And then she would do it over and over and over again. So Audrey was intrigued and wanted to know why that happened. And eventually the raccoons moved and they were able to move on. And she researched it and found out that raccoons, the mothers have scent glands in their cheeks and they rub their paw to leave their scent on their baby's paw. So in kindergarten, we call this raccoon perfume, which I don't think any of us really want to wear. And that it's a way to comfort their babies by leaving their scent. So later on, her own daughter was really apprehensive about going to preschool and was super nervous. And she was trying to think of a way to make her feel better. And she thought back to that moment on the train and the mother raccoon. And she grabbed her hand and she gave her a big kiss on her hand and said, "See, I'm leaving my mark with you. I'm leaving my kiss. It'll be with you wherever it goes. You'll always know I love you. You have my kiss on your hand." And the story comforted her daughter, and she thought this would be a great tale to share with other kids who were also having a hard time adjusting to leaving or going to school. And the idea for the kissing hand was born. So on our writer's chart, we talk about how Audrey Penn was inspired by different experiences she had that could kind of go together. So how there's some experiences sometimes you can look at and say, I think this matches. I think these would make a great story. So this seems like a great text just for the beginning of the year when you have kids who are apprehensive and they want to connect on that first day with the feelings they're feeling about leaving their mom and being nervous. But this is also a great book to come back to for different writing units and reading units throughout the year. So I wanted to go over some of the read aloud and reading workshop teaching points that you could use this book for. Now, when we do a mini lesson using a mentor text, we don't take the mentor text like the kissing hand. We wouldn't just teach the kissing hand for 2 weeks and teach every single lesson that comes out of the book in a few weeks. Instead, we let the book become the vessel for the teaching point. So that means throughout the year, you'll have different teaching points that come up and you'll say, you know what? This was a great book for this teaching point. I'm going to pull it out. So you always want your teaching point to come from something the kids need and then find the book afterwards that's going to support it, not the other way around. So here are some of the teaching points for reading workshop that you could use the kissing hand for. Readers can use sensory details to analyze the mood of a text. So this would be a little more advanced for some older students, our second graders, our third graders, maybe later in the year for first grade, where they start to think about which parts of the book feel quiet or feel still. What's the mood throughout the story? And how does the author set that through the illustrations, through different details? Readers use their background knowledge to put on a character's shoes and connect to how they may feel or think during the events in a story. I teach kindergarten, and kindergartners are really good at putting on the character's shoes for this book. So saying, imagine how Chester feels. So if you were Chester, how would you feel? And this is a really simple way to teach connections or to trigger memories from a story that they can bring into this one. Readers use sensory details to visualize a story and create a movie in their mind. Many times, picture book readers think because there's a picture in front of them that they don't have to visualize. They don't have to make that movie. It's a little more difficult for them because they say, I have a picture. It's right here. So it's nice to teach them early on the difference between a photograph or an illustration and a mind movie. So the illustration, the story, is only showing us one part of what happened. But we have to imagine all those little parts that happened in between. So for instance, when Mother Raccoon kisses Chester's hand, we don't see in the illustration her leaning down and kissing it. We see the illustration of the paw stretched out and the love flowing through. So that's a great place to stop and say to students, wait a second, there's more to this than just what's in the picture. We have to fill in the blanks. We have to fill in what happened. Can you picture Mother Raccoon putting her kiss in the palm of his paw and really stretch that out? That's something that many kids need to be explicitly taught, how to make that movie even with pictures. Readers can look for clues about a story's setting, such as the time and place. Maybe you live somewhere where I live, hence my Jersey accent, where raccoons love to come out at night. But you could live in a desert area, or you could live in a beach area. Maybe raccoons aren't as prevalent. So thinking about where could this story take place? Kids are super excited who do have raccoons who go through their garbage and miss their neighborhoods to say, oh, this could be a raccoon by me, or they could live close to me. So thinking about where could this story have taken place, and then using other clues such as what time, looking at the time change in it. It's a great book to introduce setting as far as looking at the time and the place of a story. Readers retell a story in sequence and include a character's problem or wishes. So this one's pretty concrete. Again, it's a great book for beginning retelling. We can talk about what the character wanted and what was happening and how was that resolved. Oftentimes with retelling, we talk about a character's problem. And sometimes it's a problem, but sometimes it's a want as well too. So this is a great one to look at. What did the main character want? What happened, and what was his feelings at the end? It's great for the basic retell. Readers slow down to really picture, understand, and enjoy their reading. So I love, this is one of my bookmark spots. When, you know, Chester's mom first lays the kiss on his hand, it's a great scene again to stop and really have children slow down and imagine and bring that mind movie in again and think about their feelings. It's a simple story, so it's nice to go back and revisit this one again, getting deeper and deeper comprehension strategies each time. You can also use this book for readers making text-to-text connections between books and how that can help them with their understanding. Anna Dudney's, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Mama Llama Llama Mrs. Mama is a really nice one to pair because you have animals as characters. They both are going about different ways of having that separation anxiety going to school. Their moms both make them feel better in different ways. So there's a lot of really strong similarities and really stark differences, which make it fun to compare with each other. And readers stretch out the heart of their retelling too. So this is thinking about, we're going to spend most of the time when we're retelling a story, thinking about what the heart of the story is. What is it that Audrey Penn wanted us to know or think about as we were reading the story? And the last one's one of my favorite teaching points. And there are more, you'll find more, they're out there. Readers infer meaning by using their background knowledge and clues from the text. So one of my favorite questions to ask with this book, I always say to my kids, well, did you notice that she says your nights at school? And they're like, nights at school? That's weird. Who goes to school at night? I'm not coming to school at night. Are we going to stay here all night? I'm like, no. So what does that mean? Why does she say that? So it's a question that gets them buzzing on day one of school. And a lot of times these are some exact answers that he went to school and he didn't finish the day, so he had to go back at night. Someone said he needed to take a nap and he sleeps at school. And then someone raised their hand and said he's nocturnal. And that was like, whoa, what does that mean? So then we talked about, I had the student share, what does that mean? He's nocturnal. And he explained. So then we talked about what would be the most reasonable explanation that he's at school at night. Is it because he's awake at night and sleeps during the day? He needs a nap. He fell asleep. And eventually they come across him being a nocturnal animal as being the most reasonable. And then at the end of the book, we look at the other nocturnal animals that are there too. So it's a really nice one to bring in. There's another great line in the book where he talks about, the mother talks about how he can wash his food and the kiss won't wear off. And they're like, what do you mean he washes his food? So I'll stop and say, are there any foods we wash? And then we talk about how we wash fruits, we wash vegetables. And then this is a nice book to bring in a nonfiction book about raccoons as well, and talk about how raccoons have a different way of washing their food. And it really brings in new background knowledge, new schema to really understand the book a little more deeply. One of the places to bookmark this are the final pages of the story right before it says, "I love you," with the little raccoon paw. It's the 2-page spread that has no words, but shows all the night creatures sitting in the branches of the tree getting ready for class. And this is a great spread. It's beautiful visually. I could hang it up in a frame and keep it. But it's also nice for that beginning inferencing, because I can say to students, what's going on here? And who's at this school? Who do you think is the teacher? What makes you think that's the teacher? So it's a great way to say that authors don't always tell us all the information. They give us clues, and we have to use what we know plus information in the book to figure things out and make really, really good predictions or guesses as we're looking at things. So kids really like to sit there. There's a lot to look through on those pages. There's lots of different types of animals. You can imagine what they're saying to each other, what sounds are going on. It's a great bookmark spot. Now, this book also lends itself to great writing workshop teaching points. This is why this is a good one to purchase, because you're going to get a lot out of this book. So some of the teaching points that you can use this book for are: writers create strong beginnings and paint the setting by using time and place details. So looking at the illustrations, how is the setting really, really accomplished in the beginning? How does Audrey Penn introduce us to the setting, and how the setting makes up so much of the story, how it changes from day to night and from their home and the different fields they walk through to the tree with all the animals. Also looking at another teaching point, writers use sensory details to show a reader something instead of just telling them. So one of my bookmark this spots is the place in the book where it says, "I'll show you," and Mrs. Raccoon took Chester's left hand, I love this, wait for it, and spread open his tiny fingers into a fan. Leaning forward, she kissed Chester right in the middle of his palm. Chester felt his mother's kiss rush from his hand, up his arm, and into his heart. Even his silky black mask tingled with a special warmth. Oh, I love that part. It's one of my favorites. This is an excellent page for showing students an example of show, don't tell. Audrey Penn could have said, "Chester's mom kissed his palm," and that would have gotten the point across. Everybody would have understood. But she stretches out the moment, and she uses a description to show it as it's happening. And I actually have my students reenact this part and open up their hand, their left hand slowly. So just that detail, which one? The left one. Spreading tiny fingers into a fan. We try that. Leaning forward, looking for the middle of our palm, and then feeling warmth come up their hand into their arm and into their heart. And even the language of a silky black mask. There's so many great details that really show the feelings. So she doesn't say, "Chester felt better." She shows it by saying the warmth ran up his arm and into his heart. So this is a great spot to bookmark for writing workshop to revisit, for how you can add details such as feeling, such as direction, left, right, things like that, to really show what's happening in the story versus just saying it and telling it. Another great example from this book is using juicy words. She says silky mask, nuzzled. These are really good words that you can show. They're I like to call them juicy words or 2020 words. 2020 words help us to see things really, really clearly. Also talking about how writers close a story by reflecting on a lesson or a feeling. They don't just say, "And then Chester went home," "And then they went to bed." That's going to happen in your early writer stories, but we want to always show them how writers actually end their stories, usually with something like a feeling or a change that happened to them and what happened right after the change, instead of going to bed. So this is also a great one to help writers really think about how they can take their own experience and turn it into a character or an animal that they love or an animal they can relate to too. So The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn is one of my favorites. It definitely makes my top 10. And if you want to bring in a little more information, going a little deeper into Audrey Penn's life, she has the Penn Project, where she goes into hospitals and schools and inspires future writers. But she also got her start as a writer in a very mischievous way. She grew up in a household with a lot of brothers and sisters, and she felt like her parents were never listening to her. But she found out if she wrote stories that they really would read them. So she would write down things that happened during the day and leave them out. And then over time, she realized that she could write things that didn't really happen, and her parents would read it and believe that that would happen too. So she started to get her brothers in trouble, and it would take them some time to figure out she made up these stories. So kids appreciate that one too. So if you enjoyed this podcast, I hope you get your own copy of The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn. Come back to it throughout the year, and I guarantee you're going to love it as much as your students and their families love it already. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you in a future episode. And remember, always keep a book by your side and a story in your heart. Thank you.